Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's a game day Monday here in the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Let's get into the Liberty White feeling of it all. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atatula. Figgy Fig is on the ones and twos with you here. And yes, I will say it one more time. It's a Texans game day Monday.
It is a Texans game day Monday. Man, finally. Finally.
You was waiting all week for a Monday night?
It was a long week, man. It made it a long week.
Yeah, really? It really did. It felt like we moved through it pretty quick. Now, what did make it long was the performance that you had in week one versus the Rams. And I know that I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid off. You now exist as the only team in the NFL that does not score a touchdown. So we cannot wait till 6 p.m. Here in the city of Houston, NRG Stadium. Liberty Wideout, if you're going out there, make sure to... Hey, Liberty Wideout if you're at the crib, too. And then
why not?
Obviously, you can always hear all the things, all the goings on with a couple of fellas that you heard this morning. Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, Andre Ware. They'll be on the broadcast. You'll hear them right here at 6 p.m. on Sports Radio 610. But we'll start at 3. 3 p.m. is when you'll hear those fellas having a long day of work. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne, they're getting you ready for football. And we're getting you ready for football because we're all excited. Week 2, it's a big one, man. It's a huge game.
It really is. It really is a big game. And you think... You know, it's early, it's week 2, they're still learning, et cetera. No, it is as much because of the things that we've seen around the league and in the division.
I was just about to ask you that. Yeah. Do it have anything to do with Sunday and who succeeded, who didn't?
It has something to do with it. It has a lot to do with a lot. And I think one of the more important things is, as we've been talking about it, obviously the offense, the offensive line. But beyond that, I want to see C.J. Stroud kind of walk around with a little more swagger like he used to. You know, his chest out a little more.
I want to see him shut people up.
Exactly.
It's been a lot of chatter, man. Mm-hmm. I just want to see him shut people up.
Yeah. And if you don't put something together now, even though it's only week 2, you're talking about things compounding, you know, things growing and you know, the stage of nervousness just going from stage 1 to stage 3 and 5 and beyond. Oh, it is a big, big ball game.
John Lopez, what have you come to pigeonhole me as being known for?
Numbers, baby.
I got a few statistics
for you.
This one per courtesy of James Palmer. 12.2 is the percentage point. That is the percentage point of teams that have started 0-2 since 1990 that have made the playoffs.
Yeah, that's another
35
thing.
35 out of 288, mm-hmm. Right? And, of course, in that time, we've had an expansion of the playoff, but still the number would still be something that you would want to avoid. You don't want to go 0-2. We know that this is a team that's capable, but we talked about it. The AFC South looking a little bit more formidable than we sometimes believe it to be. And so for those reasons, you need to go to get a win. But you know what? I think we're going to go with the coach speech perspective of, I don't give a damn about outside. We focus on what's happening.
We're worried about us.
And there's plenty enough in here. So let's look at it from this. Like, obviously, we could talk about the things that make this a big game. But let's focus on the part that's important here. The offense is going to be a focal point for this game. What are you hoping to see from the offense in this game? 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Also, you can get involved with the program on the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers live streams. Both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch chat, 610 Houston. You thought I forgot. Mm-hmm. I Figgy on his toes, too.
Yeah, yeah. You kind of got a system when you start naming stuff. I'm like, all right, let me get ready for it. Some days I can't find the key because I got a lot of stuff on here. I'll be like, oh, where's that?
Not today, though. You were on your P's and Q's, and let's start there. Like, is this offense going to stay on track? Like, are they going to, because at least for themselves, they have proclaimed that what is necessary here is for us to stay on track in order for our mm-hmm. offense to be viable. Now, there is some question marks as to why that is an absolute necessity to be productive on offense. That we see other offenses that sometimes aren't able to stay on track but can dig themselves out of that.
Yeah.
All right, without getting too deep into that, because we've got the whole week to discuss that if we need to, they do, like, can they stay on track and get themselves on schedule in order to be apparently put themselves in the best chance to succeed?
Yes, and that's the biggest question. I think they can, but I also think it comes back to, speaking of coach speak, you know, worrying about yourselves. Those penalties, those long third and or those third and eights, those third and sevens. You know, that to me is the most important thing. That's why it's such a big game. And the other part of it is, you said, you know, the old coach speak thing of we need to worry about ourselves. But you do have the stage almost entirely to yourself. And, you know, if
it's it's a peninsula game. I typically call them island games. It's just by yourself. You're going to touch.
You're going to have 3 hours by yourself. Yeah. You have 2.5, 3 hours by yourself where the entire football world is watching, casual football fans, observers around the country. So it is about us, but it's also, if you spit the bit, heaven forbid, or if your offense doesn't ignite the way you want it to ignite, then all of a sudden, you know, those narratives are going to be in place. Things are going to start compounding themselves in the building and outside the building and in these studios, et cetera. No, it is important for a lot of those things you want to see besides, you know, avoiding the third and long. I heard the boys talking this morning on Texans radio about, hey, be ready to withstand, you know, Tampa Bay's, early onslaught. Forget that. How about an early onslaught yourself? I think this is a team that needs to come out and stretch the field a little bit, get the ball to Nico Collins.
Wait, hold on. I'm hearing wheel route from John Lopez.
Nick Chubb.
Just go ahead and line Nick Chubb out wide, run him on a go route, see what happens.
Get the ball to Nico Collins.
Can we get Levante David in space? That's what I'm hearing. Right. Can we?
No, I'm serious. I think you need to kind of take a few risks early and establish the longer, you know, the stretch of your plays.
I don't entirely disagree with you there. Mm-hmm. The question I have is, how confident, or confidence is a really funny word to be using here with this Texas team right now, but what do you believe the likelihood is that you see Nick Haley do that? We're still coming to learn the tendencies and what happens with Nick Haley. And I don't know how much of it was him, but you could easily take from week one versus the Rams, this is going to be a conservative with the capital C offense. What you're talking about, which we've seen this Texans team do before, like think back to Colts week 18 2 years ago when you just go, we're chucking that thing up there, dog. Shout out to Randy Moss. Like, do you think, or do you possibly see that happening? Because again, I don't, just off of week one, which is a small sample, and I can't necessarily pigeonhole Nick Haley to that, it doesn't feel like that would be something in their repertoire to just come out and be like, yo, we are chucking this thing down the field and testing your fortitude for deep passes early.
Well, a couple things. Not just week one, training camp in the preseason. We know that this is going to be conservative with a capital C, run the ball, New England-style offense, et cetera. And I'm not saying, you know, the other thing is, I'm not saying all of a sudden you become, you know, just pitching it all over the field. But I do think you have to ask yourself this. Is this a game plan offense or not? Now, who knows exactly what they're seeing in the Tampa defense to be able to stretch the ball. But I think part of the game plan should be, let's not just pigeonhole ourselves into what we did against the Rams specifically. Our game plan should be, you know, take a few more risks. I think take a few more risks, or at least stretch the field early in the game just to establish that.
Yeah, I do. I think that I would put that on my list of things that I'd like to see is an attempt to really test the Bucs defense. Todd Bowles is a very good play caller defensively. He comes with a lot of original looks, including disguises and things that are going to try and keep your quarterback and your coordinator on their toes. I think similarly, you need to give him a little something to think about, because that was one of the things that it felt like very early on in week one. It's like, all right, that defense opposite you knows that they need to sit on these under type things. And then from there, they can figure out what else you're doing. I think you need to show a little bit of wiggle to what you do and give, hopefully, be able to back the Bucs off a little bit and give you an opportunity to get into some of the things. Hell, I'm thinking immediately back to a vivid play. I believe it was Nico Collins on a slant where the linebacker is sitting underneath that quick slant, and you're not even, and that's clearly where the ball was going to go. There was not really another opportunity for it to go anywhere else. You know, quick drop, and then hits the top of the of his drop. CJ does, gets the ball out, and you can't even get it to the man that he wants to. You got to back these guys off.
Well, and the other reason is, if you don't establish something early, then and keep doing what you've been doing, that defense is going to be, as you said, not just underneath routes, but they're going to be jumping routes. You know, they're going to be, you know, taking risks on out routes because they know that you're not, you know, prone to maybe do an out and up or across the field or whatever it might be. Now, that has to happen. I would love to see it happen earlier. The other thing is, how about a touchdown? You know, not you know,
sure.
Not a lot of touchdowns. Just give me a touchdown to start with.
I take a lot of touchdowns.
I didn't realize we could order it. That was how we were supposed to do it.
I take all the touchdowns I can get, man.
I'll have the number two with a touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me a touchdown. No, that's where you start. I mean, you know, this offense needs it for its own well-being, you know, to be able to establish that they can get into the end zone. And by the way, part of that is red zone. You know, the red zone has been just brutal for them. One more thing that I think maybe they should, you know, we heard all last week about Nick Chubb, D'Amico Ryans talking about, you know, he needs to get more touches. Well, how that plays out, I'd like to see Woody Marks out of the backfield more. That can help with the passing game.
No, for sure. I just need to see a better running game all the way around.
Yeah.
I'm still, shout out to B. Scott, man, because oftentimes he says things that make you think.
Mm-hmm.
And pursuant to that, on Friday, he gave us a little bit of B. Scott's thoughts. And one of those was the ways in which this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive line and defensive front seems to be solid in the interior, less so on the exterior.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see the realness of this game plan offense. I don't want to hear about a game plan offense, but see the same thing over and over. I get that enough with Manchester United, my soccer team, where they're
big game this weekend.
Buddy, don't get me started. Because sincerely, nobody wants to hear it. Me complaining about Manchester United. But similarly, I bring that back to the Texans, and I'm like, don't be like that inability or unwillingness to change. If you say it's a game plan offense, please put your guys in an opportunity to succeed. So I kind of want to see, will they utilize Woody Marks, who I think is probably best suited for what you're talking about here, and allow him to get outside and run on the edges where you have some pass rushers that are maybe a little bit more shaped like outside linebackers in the 3-4 versus Vita Vea, who is a big old trash can full of dirt in the middle that I imagine you're going to have a hard time moving. Oh, yeah, remember with an Ed Ingram who's in there who, again, we don't know exactly what he is. We'll learn a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Jarrett Patterson, who's coming in as a center with the Laken Tomlinson, who, let's be honest, as much as we like him as a dude, did not cover himself in glory in week one. The interior might not be able to get as much push. Why not go to the outside where you got big boys versus smaller boys and hopefully get some run?
Yeah, that's the other thing. We're going to see a different offensive line from what we saw to finish the game last Sunday. And oh, by the way, you got to mention this as well. Jake Andrews, Christian Kirk, Braxton Berrios, all out. So there's the other part of the offense and what you're going to end up trying to do, because you're going to have, you know, other people step up. We kept talking about it going into week one. It didn't happen. So now you got to find somebody on the outside to be able to take a little bit of that pressure off of Nico Collins.
All right. So with that, we did not mention that. Nico Collins' touches feels evident. To about what number are you hovering on?
I want
right
to see
now?
9 targets.
Okay. I don't dislike that. That's 4 mm-hmm. more than he was able to get last week. Almost double. Feels about right.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things I'm actually thinking about on top of that, because mm-hmm. obviously that is clear. One, can we see the explosive players in here? Now, of course, Nick Cayley was talking to the media last week, and I think he was asking, I'm sorry, I don't have my cut sheet in front of me here, so I don't know if you have this here, but he was asked about like what the young guys would need to do to get burned, because obviously that was one of those things that we thought about, and mm-hmm. we looked up and we were like, hey, these guys aren't getting burned. And it seemed like his answer was kind of to the point of, well, they got to earn it just like everybody else. This is not going to be kind of handed to them. I do wonder if, can we just see it?
Yeah.
Like, can we just see it? But on top of that, one thing I do know is this defense, they are more static when it comes to the secondary. The Jamel Dean plays on the right side, and that's where he will be. So are they going to move guys around and maybe get Nico Collins into the slot or off to the another side to see what he does? But this was Nick Cayley when asked about, what do the young guys have to do to get more burn in this?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think whether you're a rookie, whether you're a vet, I think just being consistent and consistently going out there and producing. And those guys have had, you know, good play throughout training camp and stuff like that. And it's a matter of just going out and being, you know, their consistent version of themselves and working hard. And naturally, you're going to improve. You care, you work at it, okay? You're going to continue to improve. And, you know, they've shown improvement along the way. I'm pleased with them.
See, to me, it's not about the what they need to do. What he said is right, you know, the consistency and do what you did in practice. But who are the guys? Who are the guys that you're going to trust to be able to take some of that pressure off? Is it going to be Jaden Higgins or Jalen Knoll or Xavier Hutchinson? Are they capable? Justin Watson? I mean, just go down the list. To me, it's the who as much as the what. The other part, and a texter brought this up, and it's really good, and I'm glad he did because we haven't brought it up. You know, I talked about C.J. Stroud and just having that presence about him. I think one of the biggest coaching points all week long was C.J. Stroud not backing up but stepping up into the pocket.
Yeah.
That is going to be huge because that alone is going to help some down and distance.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Mm-hmm. Trust him as much as you can, man. Like, clearly there's some unlearning happening with the ways in which a level of distrust for the quarterback set in last year. We could see it happening tangibly after probably about 5-6 weeks. We saw it building up to the point where it was clear he had no trust, and rightfully so last mm-hmm. year. Supposedly you have a little bit more stable offensive line. It does feel like you have raised what is the floor mm-hmm. of this offensive line. Now the ceiling of this offensive line ends up still remaining an issue for me personally. I don't know about you, John Lopez. But at least if that floor is indeed raised, believe it to the level of that floor so that you're not compounding your issues with putting yourself in the right space. And maybe coming back to C.J. Stroud, how about no lollygagging? That's the one thing I want to see an urgency. I want to see y'all get to the line early. That's going to be a big thing for me because if C.J. Stroud has all of this responsibility
that's the other big talking point.
On his shoulders, mm-hmm. if he needs to set up protections, which he missed a couple of times last week, we're not giving him any pass for that. Well, give yourself – C.J. Stroud, Nick Cayley, give your quarterback an opportunity to get to the line and diagnose pre-snap. He's going to have a hard enough time post-snap because, again, the Bucs like disguising. They like changing the picture mm-hmm. after the snap. But at least so you can know what the pre-snap is so you don't mess up those. Get to the line on time, go with some urgency, and at least let me see that portion of this.
And to be clear, we still haven't seen this iteration of the offensive line. We don't know what it's going to look like. You know, you talk about the floor of the line. We don't know what it's going to look like, especially up the middle. Jared Patterson is going to play. Tomlinson and Titus Howard are going to be back where they belong, Ed Ingram. So we don't even know what this line is going to be. So it adds even more pressure, more responsibility on C.J. Stroud.
This is a huge, huge football game. On the text line, do you agree with this, John Lopez? Mm-hmm. This one comes in from the 281. C.J.'s last opportunity to prove he's a top five quarterback.
No, not the last. But it speaks, kind of bringing it full circle, to the first thing I said. One of the first things I said. You've got the stage. This is you. This is C.J. Stroud. He's going to be, you know, highlighted on the national broadcast. Obviously, we know he's the franchise quarterback. This is an opportunity to kind of reestablish your reputation, so to speak.
I think so. Somebody said, and I don't agree with this, 936. C.J.'s inability to read a good defense is what's holding the Texans back. I don't agree with that. I think this is why I was highlighting, hey, we're talking about this going back and playing mm-hmm. kind of like Tom Brady did early, and this is why I also pushed back heavily on Tom Brady himself, the idea that, oh, quarterbacks are not as intellectual or what have you, whatever he actually said, because that's not quite what he said.
Yeah.
And I'm like, compared to then in the early aughts, compared to now, the defenses are more complicated to read.
Yes.
So asking a quarterback now to do more reading when it's more complicated, You might have some up and down shaky results, and I think that's what week one is. Now, CJ, it's incumbent upon you to show
you got the stage, man.
Progress. Mm-hmm. That's ultimately for me. That's not satisfactory because I need more. But at the very least,
today it's what you need.
I need progress.
Yes.
So it's make or break today.
No, it's not.
Must win.
Oh God.
Does CJ get a contract? Will he win this game?
It's a must win game in week two.
We're just getting going on a game day Monday here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Oh, man, a lot of things coming up. So rock with us here before a 3 p.m. pregame gets going as we head towards kickoff. All right, in the loop, coming up next, let's go around the AFC South because we did have a lot of football. And this AFC South picture is becoming a little bit more clear. And I don't know if you like the way it looks. Let's talk about that next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.